I always want to thank the choir for their beautiful voices, but it seems awkward since I'm in the choir and I don't want them to, like, hey, look at me saying no. Thank you, choir. You are beautiful. So thank you for that. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I almost said hymnals, Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Now, just a quick disclaimer. I had two full mugs of coffee this morning, and there's some goodie treats down in the fellowship hall that had some chocolate in it, so I'm a little amped up at the moment. So if I'm reading too fast or something, just raise your hand and say, slow it down, take it down a notch. But we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 this morning, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 26. Now, if you're reading an NIV Bible, there's a split there at 16, but we're starting at 13. So, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness or orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen. So, over the past several weeks, we have been on a very interesting journey, haven't we? We've gone from this meta-narrative of God's presence and who God is, looking at the three parts of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, moving into spiritual gifts, and then looking at where is your focus and what are you connected to, and it's all coming to a point. And today we're going to be obviously talking about fruits of the Spirit. But I want to start with a little illustration. One of the things I like to do, especially as it gets into fall, is I like to cook chili. I got the basic recipe from my dad. It started out as like a spaghetti sauce, and I took it, I mixed it, and did something with it, and said, I wonder if I can make this in chili, and poof, it did. But as I'm cooking, I have all these many different pots and pans and bowls, and Jennifer gets really mad at me because she's like, you use every single pot in the kitchen, and I got like all four burners going at the same time, and stuff over here in other pots and bowls, and basically she's like, what do you want me to do, and then I'll get out of your hair. So she's wonderful enough to cut up all the vegetables and get the bowls ready for me, but here's the point where I'm getting at. There are many different pieces and ingredients. Like I'll have the sauce, the base, like tomato sauce going, and I add some diced tomatoes. I'm not gonna give you my full secret recipe, because that's mine. You're gonna have a taste of it in coming weeks. But got the base sauce going, then I've got some veggies going over here, sauteing, and many other things coming together, and then all gets combined into one pot at the end to simmer, to bubble, and get all the good flavors coming together, and then you let it rest. Now, I kind of see that as what we've been doing here. We had pieces here, pieces there, looking at different parts of Scripture, different theologies, looking at our lives connected to Christ, and it's all bubbling down to here. This is kind of the passage where the rubber meets the road, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Galatians is a very interesting book. I'm going to give you a little bit of context. Again, this is like the last bit of ingredient I'm going to throw in as we kind of look at this particular message. Galatians is one of the earliest Pauline epistles, epistles just being letters to the churches from Paul, basically teaching letters to churches. And Paul had set up these churches in the area of Galatia, basically Turkey area, in one of his first missionary journeys. And he's writing back to them because he's heard about people we now label as Judaizers who have come into the area and tried to distort the original gospel message that Paul had taught them. The freedom in Christ, living by the Spirit, the resurrection giving us that freedom from the law, and freedom from the guilt of the law. And the problem was, now that the message from the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, spreading out to the Gentiles, the Jews thought, okay, you guys are coming into our religion now, and so you need to follow X, Y, Z, and all the other 613 commands, and being circumcised, and all this other stuff that they thought they needed to make the Gentiles do in order to become part of the Jewish nation. And they started to impose these works and rules and law onto the Gentiles, which was completely different than the message of freedom in Christ that Paul had preached him to begin with. Now, in a couple weeks, we're going to dive really deep into Galatians and read more about that. But this is what the purpose of Paul's letter to the Galatian churches was, combating that thought of we needed to add to the gospel the grace of Jesus Christ with all these other things. And the end of the book here, where we start getting into Paul really defining what it means to be free in Christ, is where we start to get the fruits of the Spirit. But sometimes when we come to this passage, there's a tendency to go straight to the fruit of the Spirit and say, okay, fruits of the Spirit, got it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, how do I do those? Let's make a list, and I'll try to be more obedient and, self-control. That means I don't do X, Y, Z. Okay, faithfulness. I need to do X, Y, Z. And there's a tendency to make it an obligation of duty, responsibility, to make these things happen. Well, guess what? You alone cannot. I'm just going to put it out there. You alone cannot do these. Why? Well, let's think back to the messages of previous weeks. Where's your focus? What are you connected to? And where do the gifts of the Spirit come from? They come from God. Now, when we think about these fruits, There's also a tendency to almost have the mindset of, I'm going through these, trying to accomplish these and grow these fruits in order to better myself, to make myself a better Christian, almost like an enlightenment thought, which if you're going for enlightenment, that's more along a Buddhist tradition rather than following Christ. And wasn't one of the things we talked about the previous week, what are you connected to? Do the branches that grow the fruit consume the fruit? It's okay to respond. I'm okay with that. No. The branches that grow the fruit do not consume the fruit that it grows. Who is the fruit for? It's for those who you minister to. It's for those people who are around you. When you love someone, you are giving them fruit of the Spirit because your focus is on Christ. You're remaining in Him, which is producing in you this love that you're giving to someone else. So you can't make a list and do these things yourself. And the fruits that you produce are not for you. They're for the other people. Now, we are the church, this church family, and then we are the body of Christ, so we give fruits to one another. So my fruit being given to you, and your fruit be given to me, and all the other fruits be given to, we share the fruit of the Spirit, right? But the fruits you produce are not for you. They're for you to share to others. Now, how does this happen? I've already kind of mentioned it when we talked about this, but we're now mixing all these ingredients, kind of identifying the ingredients to make this big pot of chili. I'm kind of on that. I'm thinking about it. I'm wanting it. I'm going to make it, but I digress. We're living by the Spirit. And if you think of the fruits of the Spirit almost like a litmus test, of how am I doing? Where is my connection? What am I focused on? And as I go through this life and the ministry that I'm in, because remember, everyone here has a ministry, whether you're called to a vocational ministry or you're part of the congregation, you're part of the body of Christ, and you have been given gifts of the Spirit. Every one of you have been given gifts of the Spirit. So as we go through our life together, our ministry together, and giving fruits out to other people, we can really see how that life is going by looking at our fruits. That's why Paul doesn't start with, in chapter 1 of Galatians, hey, you guys need to be in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, because he's trying to get at the heart. He's trying to talk to the heart of the Galatians, saying, guys, you don't need to add to grace. Grace is sufficient for all, for everyone. You don't need to make the list and do something else in order for Christ to accept you. Because Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God. He chose to come down and die for us and give us freedom from the law. So, where is your heart? What is your heart connected to? What is your heart focused on? And that will show you by the fruits. The fruits will show you what your heart is connected to, what you're focused on, by what fruits you are producing for those around you. Living by the Spirit and loving others. Now, in our Sunday school class this morning, I kind of joked with Carol, like, you took my sermon right from me because she was talking about living by the Spirit and loving others. So I was like, hey, you took my punchline. But it's true, it's that simple. Being connected to God, loving God, and that allows you, with that vertical connection, to make the horizontal connection of being filled with God's Spirit, filled with God's love, overflowing to those around you, having that horizontal connection, showing God's love to people, and His love is freedom. Now, is it freedom to do whatever we want? Like, oh, I'm saved. I can say a prayer of forgiveness and, hey, that's a cool party over there. Let's go check it out. And is it freedom to do whatever we want? And Paul says in Romans, absolutely not, by no means. Because in Romans, he's making the case, should we sin more so grace can abound more? Like, no. You guys, you're missing the point. We are freed from the law that condemns into a life of service for God. Verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. You were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. To serve one another in love. As I was reading one of the commentaries this week, it had a little equation. It said, liberty minus love is license. It's a license to do whatever you want. Liberty plus love equals Jesus. Our freedom to serve Him without the burden of sin. Because He went to the cross to take sin, to conquer death, to free us from that so we may now love fully. To fully serve, to fully connect, without the burden of, do I have my checklist of 613 commands that, oh, don't step there, and oh, don't do that. If we're so focused on the law, so focused on what we need to do, ought to do, obligated to do, we're not looking at Christ who already tells us what we should be doing through the Spirit. Where is your focus? What are you connected to? And what fruits are you producing? Freedom from sin. Reconciled to the Father. These are the things that Christ died for, that He rose for, that He's coming back for. The gospel message. To accept Christ as your Savior, to repent of your sins, to have the Spirit live within you, fill you, and to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So that what? That you have your ticket to go to heaven? You get your golden ticket and get to sit back? So that we serve one another in love. To live by the Spirit, to love one another. And as you look at what you're doing, how you're interacting, those are the fruits of the Spirit. It's easy to look and see what the sinful nature produces. But Paul is contrasting to say, when you're living by the Spirit, you don't need to try to do these things. If you're a child of God, following God, abiding in God, living by God through the Spirit, these things will be self-evident. One of the other passages we look through in Sunday school, by the way, Sunday school is awesome. You guys need to come because God does amazing things there. Don didn't even know what I was prepping for sermon. I didn't know what he was prepping for Sunday school, and God just brings them all together. But one of the passages was talking about how at the end, where God is separating and judging, and the famous passage of, you know, you saw me naked and you clothed me. You saw that I was thirsty and gave me a drink. And those things are just loving people, loving those around you. They're not the big, flashy, look at me, I can do this amazing missionary work. I built this building. It was just simply, have you loved those around you and what that looked like? And the righteous are saying, Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? You were up in heaven. I mean, when you did these things for the least of these, you did it to me. Think of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan, and this might go into another sermon, I'm going to try to keep this brief, but Good Samaritan is an awesome story. The Samaritan was someone who was looked down upon by the Jewish leadership, and almost all the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. History lesson to follow. But he came across the man who was robbed and left for dead and naked on the road. And the point of that story was he took compassion on that person. And the question was not, who is my neighbor? Jesus flipped the question on its head and said, who was the neighbor in that story? And of course, it was a parable from the question of what's the greatest commandment, which is echoed here again by Paul. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law. One command. Not 613 to make your checklists and make sure you got everything right, but just to love. But you can only love by connecting to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you have that connection, your fruit will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love. Sounds so simple. But without God, we can't do it. So where's your focus? What are you connected to? And what is your fruit? Let me pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are, what you've done for us, to reconcile us to you, Lord, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and empowering us by the Holy Spirit who dwells within every person who calls Christ Lord and repents of their sins. Father God, I just ask that you would move in all of us, show us how to love as you have loved us. Because that is the greatest power in the world, is your love. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.